The title that I've given my sermon this morning, just prior to our meeting, is A Prayer for Revival. A Prayer for Revival. And I'm going to use as the sixth verse, as a verse of Scripture. And it reads thusly, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Wilt thou not revive us again? In other words, Lord, won't you revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Would you join your hearts with me in prayer? Our dear God and our eternal Heavenly Father, glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we come to thee in prayer, we are so thankful we can enter into thy house, that we can open thy word and realize it has been divinely inspired by the power of thy Holy Spirit, and it has been given as a timeless word just as much for us today as it was for those ancient saints. Because you are the God who in Malachi said, "I'm the Lord, I change not." And therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And so, Lord, we know that what is truth and what is righteous and holy to you today has been and ever shall be. And we come today to hear you speak to our hearts and help direct our lives in the way you'd have us to go and to live from day to day that would honor and glorify you. As a loving Father who's done so much for us, we could never repay you. But Lord, we've come to lift our hearts up to you in worship. We've come into thy house and we've sung thy praise. We're now, Lord, looking to you with our hearts lifted in prayer, asking your blessings upon this service and upon all of your people. But, O Lord, help me to preach the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I'll try to give you all glory and praise when you do. And bless thy people in the power of your Holy Spirit to receive your word and be blessed by it. And to be able to leave thy house, Lord, knowing they've truly been in the presence of the living God of all the ages. Wrap your loving arms about each of them. Bless them, Lord, through your word and through your Spirit. And continue to watch over and keep us every day in all the various ways of life. Bless our sick and thy sick wherever they are on the face of the earth. Bless thy kingdom, thy churches, thy people. Bless our nation. Have mercy, Lord, upon us. Stir the hearts of leaders that they will turn back to thee. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. Well, I think it's evident from the title of my sermon and from the passage that I've read in your hearing that I'm going to be talking about revival. We schedule a couple of meetings each year at this church, one in the spring, one in the fall. This is our spring meeting coming up this week. And yet, when we schedule the meetings, I hope we're always trusting and praying that God will make it a revival. I believe that we need revival, folks. We need it in the church. We need it in our country. We need it in our own lives individually. And so we need to be praying for revival. And you might think, well, what is revival? Well, let me kind of illustrate it through biblical scriptures, kind of give you a glimpse of what it means. The Bible tells us, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not weary. And they shall walk and not faint." That's the 31st verse, the last verse of Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 40. And notice what it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." So this is a re-strengthening of us, a revitalization of us, maybe a growth in our energy in the service of the Lord. And so that idea of just being stronger is a part of the idea of revival. In the New Testament, there's a beautiful verse of Scripture says, "Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Listen, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And that's in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Not an awful long time after the outpouring of the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost. And so God was just saying, we're all sinners. We all need to repent when we make mistakes. We go contrary to God's will in our heart and in the quietness of our soul to come before God and say, Father, I'm sorry. I broke your law. I sinned against you. So that's what it is to repent. But he says, then we're also to be converted, which means we are to be changed. So if we're truly sorry that we did something God said we shouldn't do or failed to do something we ought to do, and we say, Lord, I'm sorry for that, forgive me, then we ought to turn from that and not do it again by the help and grace of God. But then he talks about those sins being kind of moved out of the way when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, what does that involve? Well, let me just illustrate it. In South Georgia, when we've had a long, hot summer, you have been riding down the road and you see a field of corn just all twisted, just looked like it was dying. And maybe late that afternoon, the Lord had sent a good shower of rain and go by it again just before dark or the next morning and it's all opened out, beautiful and green, thriving. Well, you see, that's what he's talking about. The Lord refreshed the cornfield by the shower of rain. And God is able to send blessings upon us that will shower us in such a way as to refresh our souls. And brothers and sisters, we need that in the troubled world in which we're living today. So we need these refreshing times. We need these times that energize and strengthen us. And so, consequently, we need revival. Now, as I look at this particular psalm, I see a people who have been returned from exile. Some believe that very likely, and it's a good possibility in my mind, that they were coming back from Babylonian captivity. Others would say, no, I don't agree with that. They were only, as best calculated, some 50 or 60,000 Jews that returned from that captivity. But they needed God's blessings, didn't they? So I don't know, and I can't say in a way that would just be positive and without any doubt, but God knows. But it is a time when they needed to be revived. And our day and time is a day and time in which you and I need to be revived. And so that's the timeless nature of God's holy word. So he says, won't you revive us, Lord? That's putting it in my words. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? I want to do some of that rejoicing, don't you? Now, as I develop my sermon this morning, I want to develop primarily three divisions of thought. First of all, I want you to understand that true, lasting revival comes from God alone. Now notice that. This is a prayer. This is the psalmist asking someone, won't you send revival to us? Well, who do you suppose he was talking to? If you still got your Bibles open, look back to the very first word, the first verse, Lord. That's who he's talking to, Lord. Look at verse 4, turn us, O God of our salvation. So we understand from those two verses that he was talking to God. He was saying to God, Lord, won't you revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? And we need to understand this. Revival cannot come by Brother Sam Adkins. He can't bring revival to us. How do I know that? I've gone to many a meeting with a prayer on my heart, Lord, bless me and use me. While I'm in this church among this people, make me a blessing to them. And yet I couldn't give them revival. No matter how hard I preached, no matter how hard I prayed, I could not give them revival. Why? Because revival has to be God sent. In the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, what we call the minor prophets, in chapter 3 and verse 2, he says to the Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the years, midst of the years, remember mercy. In other words, Lord, revive your work. You're the only one who can do it. And God truly is the only one who can revive us, folks. And if we want to be truly revived, we're going to have to pray the prayer. We're going to have to be praying for revival and recognizing that God is the only one who can give us revival. Now, you might wonder, well, why would that be true? Because when you think about it, who is the supplier of all blessings we stand in need of? Isn't it God? The Bible says it is. In James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness. Neither shadow turning. And brothers and sisters, it means to say to us that those good and perfect gifts, they all come from our Heavenly Father. Now, I don't know for sure that I'm right in this, but I'll tell you, the feelings of my mind and heart is that because he talks about two different kinds of blessings, they're good blessings, they're perfect blessings, I tend to think that God inspired James to say, your good blessings, those are your temporal, natural blessings. And the perfect blessings, they are the spiritual blessings. And so whether you need a blessing for your spirit and your heart and your soul, or whether you need the blessing of good health or food to eat or clothes to wear or the comforts of a home or whatever, it is God that blesses us. Oh, I know people say sometimes, well, listen, I work hard for what I get. But listen, we couldn't work hard without God's blessings on us, could we? We wouldn't have the strength and the health to work if God didn't bless us to have the strength and health. We wouldn't have a job to work at if God didn't bless us to have a job. And so when you trace it and track it all down, it all comes down to the fact that God is the source of our blessings. He gives us so much, doesn't he? Truly, the Lord is good. And so, if we want the blessing of revival in our church and in our lives, we're going to have to ask God for it. Because God's the only one that can send it. As your pastor, I love you. You've become very dear to my heart. But I can't give it to you. I'd give you the last dollar out of my wallet, but I can't give you revival. Because that's got to come from God. But I want to tell you this. It can come from God. Because God has power you and I don't have. I can't give it to you because I don't have enough power. Brother Sam Adkins can't give it to you. He doesn't have enough power. But there is a God who reigns in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, who sits now upon his throne in heaven's glory, ruling and reigning. And thus, in Revelation 19:6, the scripture says, hallelujah. That is, praise be to God. Hallelujah. For the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. And that word omnipotent means possessing all power. God is reigning because he is an all-powerful God. Because he is an almighty God, a sovereign God. And the devil nor the hands of men cannot overthrow his workings. We understand then that God has the power. So, revival has to come from God. The second point to my sermon is, it comes from God, but to us. Revival must come to us. If revival goes to some other person in some other place, they get revival, but I don't get revival. And you don't get reviving. And so it's got to come to us. And you notice the language of this verse. Wilt thou not revive us? You see, the psalmist wasn't concerned only about his personal revival, but he was concerned about the revival of others of God's children. So he would say, Lord, won't you revive us? Won't you revive me? Won't you revive the people who have come back from the bondage of slavery and wherever they've been? Won't you revive us? And the Lord can. He can revive each and every one of us. But I will tell you this. I do believe this. I believe sometimes he may revive a person on one pew and a person on another pew may not be revived. And I'll tell you why I believe that's the case. Because sometimes the one that's on one pew has been really praying, Lord, revive us. And maybe the other one doesn't want to be revived, isn't interested in revival, isn't praying for revival. So consequently, one is revived, is revived and not the other. So I tell you that to say, we ought to pray for each other. I ought to pray for you and you pray for me. And let's pray for Brother Sam Adkins and pray for everyone who will come into the house of God when that time comes in our meeting. But pray for revival, that we'll all be revived. Pray that you will, that your loved ones will. Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? You see, there are blessings that sometimes come to one and not another. I remember the prodigal son. You remember how he went away? He, the younger son, there were two boys in that family. The father was a hard worker, and he'd been blessed of God, and they were prosperous. And so it came a time when the young one said to his father, Father, give me my inheritance. I want what I'm going to get now. I don't want to wait on you to die. I want it right now. I've got things I want to do. I've got places I want to go. And the father lovingly gave it. And he went away into a distant, a far country, the Bible calls it. And he wasted away in riotous living. And finally was so poor and so broken that he didn't even have food to eat. And the only job he could find was for a Jewish boy to work in a hog pen. And you say, what's the matter with that? I fed hogs when I was young. Yes, but we're Gentiles, and the Jews couldn't eat hogs. They couldn't have a ham sandwich. It was unclean to them. And so for a Jewish boy to be feeding the swine, the hogs, oh, that just wasn't a very good job. It's kind of bottom-rung job. And you know the food he ate? Was the food that he fed to the hogs. That's how low he had gotten. But then he gets up one day and he said, I'm going home. He remembered his father's house. Now here's the point I want you to get. The other son at home, the elder son, was still eating at the father's table. He still had the bounty of his father's table. He had the blessings and the comforts of his father's home. But the one who went away did not. He was still a son. He still was the offspring of that father. That had not changed. He's still of the bloodline, and he still had a place there. But he was way over yonder in the hog pen. But he gets up and he goes to the father and he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. In other words, your hired servants have better than I've been treated over there. You treat them better than I've had it. And I know I'm not worthy, Father. I've wasted what you work for. And I know I don't need to be recognized as a son, but I just want to come home and I want to work for you as a servant. And you know, the father received him back, but not as a servant, but he received him as a son. He put the ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, had the fatted calf killed, and they rejoiced at him coming home. But you see, while he was going away, one son over there was having the blessings. Another one over here didn't. We need the blessings of God individually and collectively. And that's why we need to be praying, Father, bless me, revive me, Lord. I need to be closer to you again. I don't know, the world has a way, and Satan, of kind of pulling us away from the Lord sometimes, just distracting us with things that make us lose our focus on the Lord. And sometimes our heart gets a little cold to the Lord. We need to be revived. Revival is for us. God doesn't need to be revived, but we do. And that's why revival comes from God by His power. But it comes to us who need to be revived. Remember when Jesus taught us to pray in the model prayer, how He taught us, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Our Father, yours and mine. And the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we are to pray for revival because it has to come from God. But we need to remember that you need it and I need it. That our hearts be warmed toward God and our lives invigorated in His service. Now, the third thing I want to call your attention to is that word again. Did you notice it in the reading? Wilt thou not revive us again? God reviving us again. Again. It means that we could have been revived a year ago, a month ago, a week ago, a day ago, but we still have lost ground and need to be revived again. Now, we thought about there are some things you need again and again and again. Time and time again, we need those blessings. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Over in the book of Lamentations, where the old prophet Jeremiah was weeping and lamenting the deplorable condition of Jerusalem. And he says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because of His compassions, they fail not, they are anew every morning." It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. His compassion, God's a compassionate God. God is a merciful God. They do not fail, they are new every morning. What does that mean to us? Well, in the light of these truths, the wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. And that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says, and that's Romans 6:23 and 3:23. So put it together, and it says that I've sinned, and if I got my just desserts, I would not be alive today. But I am, and so are you. Now why? Because God is such a merciful God. God didn't give us what we deserved. He gave us so much better. That's why I love to worship Him, because He's been so good to me. So He gives us His mercies anew every morning. And every morning that I wake up and open my eyes to the light of a new day, I try to thank the Lord that morning for His mercies that have been anew another day. See, I don't just need mercies for a day in the past. I need mercy every day, don't you? And isn't the Lord a merciful God to grant it? So we need mercies anew every morning. And then when Jesus taught the model prayer I just previously referred to in Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, and I use verse 9, but in the 12th verse He says, "Give us this day," no, the 11th verse, "Give us this day our daily bread." What's it mean, daily bread? It means you need bread for yesterday, but you needed it then, but you need it today, and you'll need it tomorrow. If I had the food to eat now, but I never had any more food to eat, I'd starve to death, wouldn't I? So I need bread today, and I need bread tomorrow. In other words, I need food for today, food for tomorrow. And I'll need food on and on in my life to sustain my body. And so it is that I need the blessings of God. I need to be revived again and again and again so that I can be stirred toward Him more and more and more as my years pass on. I remember in James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "But He giveth more grace." God resisteth the proud, He said, "but He giveth grace unto the humble." And so as we humble ourselves before the Lord and acknowledge how much we need Him and are dependent upon Him, and we give Him thanks and praise and honor and glory for all the blessings He bestows upon us, He gives us more grace. He gave us grace by which we are saved. He gives us grace to go through sufferings. And I tell you, I know there's suffering grace. Paul had suffering grace. He's suffering a thorn in the flesh. It's been debated over the centuries. But I suppose only God truly knows what that thorn in the flesh was. But oh, how it troubled him. And he prayed to God, not once, not twice, but three times he prayed to God to take that thorn out of his flesh. Let him at last be free from it. And God did not. God told him no. That was a prayer answered, but God just said no. Now, we don't like God to answer prayers like that, do we? I tell folks God answers prayer in three ways. One is yes, the other is no, and the other is wait. That's hard too. When your children wanted to do something, you said, "Now wait, I'm going to have to think about it." They didn't like that. I didn't like it when my parents told me that. And children don't like it today. We want it now. But sometimes God says, wait. And really, God told Paul no. Not going to give you this. I'm not taking this stone out of your faith. But he told him why. He said, you would be exalted above measure. In other words, you'd get so swollen with pride and arrogancy because I have blessed you with greater revelations than any other of my servants around you. And you have been blessed by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write almost half of the New Testament. And if I didn't have this, allow this to come upon you, why, you just get so filled with pride, you wouldn't be a bit of good in my service. In other words, you needed to be humble to truly be a servant of the Lord. So the thorn in the flesh was left. But you know what God told him? God said, but my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace will be sufficient for you, Paul. It'll be sufficient today and tomorrow. And he'll give him more grace for every day. And every time that the old devil would reach out and turn that thorn in the flesh and make it hurt him a little more, God would give him grace and get him through it. See, there are some blessings we need again and again. Can't deny it in the basis of Scripture. And revival is one of those blessings. Revive us, Lord. Wilt thou not revive us? Again. Again. May God grant it to us, each and every one again. Now, the summation of all of that is this. Look at the last statement. That thy people may rejoice in thee. Oh, when you read in the Bible, in the New Testament of times, the day of Pentecost, can you imagine that? 3,000 people added to the church, a little struggling church in the world of about 120 disciples, struggling along against the forces of all the adamant nations that hated them as a Jew and especially as a Christian. And yet, there they were. And then God opens the windows of heaven and pours out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in such a way that God stirred hearts and blessed folks to cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? We want to do something in God's service. Tell us what we're to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what the apostles told those who cried out to them about what they were to do. But you see, there was rejoicing in the day. I've seen times in the church as people have come into the church with weeping sometimes, and sometimes just a heart filled with gladness. They come and want a home in the church. And when I see the congregation give the hand of fellowship, hug their neck, and I see the joy of it all, there's rejoicing in the church. And when the gospel is preached and hearts are blessed, there's rejoicing in the church. But we also need to rejoice in our own individual life and heart and prospects. I need to be able to feel that rejoicing. Rejoicing is, as I understand it, expression of joy. I have joy in me, and you can't see it. You can't see what's inside my heart. I can't see what's in your heart. But when I get so full of joy, it starts running out of me. When I become bubbly with joy and a smile on my face and the joy that's in my heart and you can sense it, then that's rejoicing. I want to be able to rejoice in the Lord, don't you? Saints in the past have done it. We have done it in the past too. I don't know how long for you or how long ago for me, but we've had joy and rejoicing. Lord, if you will revive us again, he's saying, we will again rejoice in you. That's why I think it's so important for us, church, to be praying for the meeting. We've invited Brother Sam Adkins to come and preach the Word of God to us. And we need to be praying for him, but more importantly, praying for Almighty God to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us that we'll rejoice in the Lord. We'll just say it's so good to be in the house of God. That'll be the rejoicing. And that'll be the evidence we have been revived. So I want to modify my sermon title just a little as I close. Pray for revival again. We've all had it. Let's pray for it again. God bless us as we do that. We can pray for it as we're riding down the highway. We lie upon our beds at night before we go to sleep, when we wake in the morning, before we put our feet on the floor, when we're sitting at the table, when we're at work, even a quiet moment, to say a prayer. Lord, wilt thou not revive thy people? We want to see revival here at Olney Church and the people of God as we come together, having revival in this meeting. Not just a meeting, but being revived. So the Lord help us to do that. And God bless all of you. Thank you for being here, for your kind attention in receiving God's Word. May the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.